And let's just start from the top. Maybe it's talking about monetary meaning overcharging, underpaying. When the pasuk says, if you will purchase something, and the end of the pasuk is, of course, that it says, Altainu ishes achiv, which is a different pasuk. Okay? So I ran as mom and omar. So they already told me about monetarily cheating someone. Amani mekayim leitzainu ishes amizoi. You shall not wrong your fellow, but you know as dvarim. It must be talking about wronging him verbally. Okay, it's that house so. If he's about tshuva, don't say, remember your earlier deeds. If he himself is a ger, and wants to learn Tyra, don't say to him, the mouth that ate non-kosher is coming to learn Tyra, which was given from the mouth of Hashem, and now it's coming out of your mouth. You can't say that. The person is suffering, or illnesses are coming to the person. He buried a child. In other words, the person is going through a rough time. You should not say to him in the same fashion that Eev's friends told him. Okay, that your fear, your fear and your kislascha, Rabbi Yossi, maybe you'll give me a good translation for this word. Kislascha.
Zelascha?
Kislascha.
Kislascha is your stupidity.
Okay.
Ksil is the tipish.
Ksil, okay. Tikvascha is your hope, the time derachecha, and the simplicity of your ways. Zecharna mihu naki avad. Please remember who is clean, who was destroyed. Okay, so I'll be honest, I did not look up the whole context of the pasuk, and I'll also be honest that Eev, when the psukim of Eev are quoted in the Gemara, I think they are second to none in terms of difficulty of interpreting them without actually opening up an Eev. The Sefer itself, and I have to admit, I did not look it up. But in any event, clearly they are kind of telling him, like, you had this coming. If Hashem decided this should happen to you, you had this coming. Mihu naki avet. Who's a naki? Who's a clean person who was destroyed? If you were truly clean and free of any stain and sin, this wouldn't happen to you. So you don't tell a person that. Okay? That's by the way, good wisdom during this whole coronavirus when everyone seems very keen, at least not everyone, but a lot of darshanim seem very keen to figure out why this has happened. And, you know, suddenly everyone becomes like, you know, Reisa Nevi'im to tell me exactly why I should.
I read somewhere in the Jewish press, somebody said it happened because the women are not dressed sneezdig. Somebody else answered him, if that's the case, why are the Rosh Hashivas dying and not the women? The women should die. The Rosh Hashivas are dressed near Dick. Why are they dying?
Well, you forgot the Gemara you had in Daf Yomi a week and a half ago that said, Shehayu bi'adam limchais v'loy nichu.
I mean, everybody comes up with these Baba Mises, you know,
right.
Ruas and so on.
The real reason is because of the Sheitlach. That's why. Anyways,
You said it, not me.
If the donkey drivers, who basically the donkey drivers were the ancient truckers, you know, of the ancient world, if they are looking for grain to ship, right, they would pick it up at point A and bring it to point B and sell it and make a profit. You know, they come and say, where can we find grain around here to ship? You shouldn't say to them, go to so-and-so who's selling grain, and he knows that this guy never sold tevuah in his life. In other words, he thinks he's playing a good joke on them, when in fact, you know, there's nothing doing. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda, one should not hang his eyes, meaning he shouldn't be like busy looking at an item for sale when he hasn't got money to buy it. This matter is given over to the heart. And anything which is given over to the heart, it says, and you shall fear from your God, which is what we saw in Rashi already before. Okay? Whose yard site is coming up in 2 days. Some of you may have heard of that. Ainoas Dvarim is worse, is more severe than Ainoas Mamin. By Anozvarm it says you shall fear from your God. This one does not say that you shall fear from your God. It's more severe because Anozvarm affects the person himself, whereas the other one is just a monetary issue. Money you can return. If you hurt someone verbally, so then you can't undo it. Tani Tana Kamedu of Nachim by Yitzchak, Kolomalbim b'nei Chaver b'Rabim, Ki'ilu Shoifich Domim. Anyone who publicly whitens his friend's face is as if he spilled blood, if he murdered him. Omar Lei. So the Rav Nachim Yitzchak said to him, Shaber Ka'amrit. You're saying good. The Chazino Lei, the Ozil Sumkov Ozi Chivra, because when you really embarrass a person, first his face turns red, and then the blood drains from his face and he turns white. So by draining the blood from his face, that is akin, you see that there's an element of murder that you're causing the blood to drain from his face. Now I want to point out, a lot of people misinterpret this, and they think that the pshat is, since you caused the blood to drain from his face, you caused the blood to drain, so it's like murder where you spill the guy's blood. Just the fact that you have a physical phenomenon, that caused something to happen, doesn't make it akin to murder. The point is that the fact that the blood drains from his face, is a physical manifestation of a mental reality that is tantamount to murder. Okay, by the fact that you just rob this person's identity, any sense of self, when you embarrass someone publicly, what you're doing is you're destroying that person's sense of self. So you're essentially what they call in English character assassination, right? And so a person's identity, a person's self, person's existence is very much tied into his identity and his sense of self. If you destroy that, you have essentially murdered the person's soul. Okay? And so that is where it's just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it in a way that there's a physical manifestation of that, and that the blood drains from its face. Where does the blood go? It goes to other parts of the body. So the point is that the head is the point of the brain, of the moyach, as we say every day when we, some people say when they put on tefillin, Shanashama Shem Moichi, the neshama is in my mind. So the head is the place of identity, of self, okay, of the neshama. And by causing the blood to drain, there's a manifestation of disconnect between the blood and the neshama, in that you've taken away that person, in essence, you've murdered that person's identity and his self. Okay, anyway, in any event, moving along, Amar Le Abaye Le Ravdimi, B'marov B'may Zihiri, in Eretzel, what are they very careful about? Amar Le, B'achviri Api, not to whiten a person's face. Amar B'chanino, HaKol Yardin Le Gehenim, Chutz Mishloisha, everyone goes to Gehenim except for three people. The Gemara says, one second, HaKol Salkadaitach, everyone goes to Gehenim, Ella Ema call a yard in the Gehenim Oilim. Anyone who goes into Gehenim will eventually get out. Chutz Mishloisha Shiyardim and Oilim, except for three who go down and don't get out. Eluhain Habo Aleishes Ish, one who commits adultery, Vamalav Nechaver Berabim, and one who whitens his friend's face in public. Ve'Amachana Shem Rala Chaveroi, and he one who gives his friend a bad nickname. So the Gemara says Machana Hainu Malbin. Giving someone a bad nickname is equivalent to whitening his face. In other words, you're severely embarrassing him. Okay, we're not talking about calling someone, Avi or what we call a diminutive form of a name, like Avi or Avromi or Shloimi or Yankee or whatever it is. Okay, that's not the point. The point is that you give someone a pejorative name. Okay, you call someone Shorty or Fatty or whatever it is, like the old joke. What do you call someone who puts his right arm down a lion's throat? Lefty. So calling someone a name which is embarrassing and causes him embarrassment, and the poets can seem to say that it's done in a way that is intended to cause embarrassment, that's the same thing as Malbim. So the Gemara says, Avagav the Dosh Bebe Shmei. The Chiddush is, even though everyone calls him that already, but if you call him that in order to embarrass him, so you are liable, even if it's already, people do it already, and he's kind of used to it, but if you're doing it in order to embarrass him, and you're calling him that name, it's a problem. Okay? There's more Gemara over here. In the interest of moving forward, I am going to skip over it. The Gemara has a whole discussion over here. Over here, just quickly, the underlying parts over here. Amablas b'nei chaver b'rabam ein l'chelik l'oilam haba. That's the famous Gemara. The Gemara is coming off the whole story of David HaMelech. We're because of the Maisa Bathsheva, so his enemies used to mock him, and he responded that if you embarrass me publicly, that's worse than adultery, because someone who committed adultery eventually will get into Olam Haba. Tosis deals with the seeming contradiction before it said that he doesn't. Okay, Good question. But David HaMelech responded, if you publicly embarrass someone and cause his face to turn white, he has no portion in the world to come. Okay? There's another Gemara over here. Amar Rav Chinen Abered Rav Idi Vayda Chsev V'lo Yisayinu Lishas HaMisoy Am She'itcha B'tayir Ove Mitzvahs Al Tanayu. The nation that is with you in Tayir HaMitzvahs, you cannot verbally abuse him. Okay? This is going to come up later. Seemingly someone who's not a Shem Tayir HaMitzvahs could be is not included, or seemingly from the Gemara, is not included in this mitzvah. Amar Rav, Rav said, La'olam Yehi Adam Zohir Ve'aynaas Ishtoi. A person should always be careful with the Aynaa, with causing verbal distress to his wife, because she cries easily, her, it is very easy to cause her distress. Therefore, one has to be careful. And the Gemara, just one more line over here, all the gates are closed except for the gates of Aina. Earlier, the Gemara said over here, the gates of prayer are closed. Even when I call out and I, even when I cry out and I groan, my tefillah is blocked. The gates of tears are not closed. Okay, this is often quoted in the context of davening that the gates of tears are not closed. The Gemara over here quotes it in the context of someone who has been verbally wronged. Okay, so that is the Gemara. So a few things that to take with us from the Gemara, besides obviously the severity of Aynaas Dvarim, is that number one, it does not apply to someone who is not Itcha B'Tayir of Mitzvahs. That's one thing. Number two is that a person has to be especially careful with one's spouse because she cries easily. Now, some would have you believe that it's women in general. The Gemara seems to say one's wife. It could be that a wife is more sensitive when her husband treats her improperly than someone else. And so therefore, it's doubly sensitive for a husband to treat his wife properly because she's doubly sensitive to her husband's criticism for what her husband has to say. So that may explain why it picks a person's wife specifically. Okay? And we'll have to deal with, as we move along, exactly what's included and what's not. So let's see. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, Shalei Lahayna, Shalei Lahayna is Echem Yisrael B'Dvarim, Shalei Lahayna is Echem Yisrael B'Dvarim, Kaloimar Shalei Neymar L'Yisrael D'Varim, Shalei Neymar, L'Yisrael D'Varim, we should not say to another Jew words, Sheyach Yivuhu, that will pain him, V'Yitzaru, and will cause him distress, Ve'em Boi Koyach Lehi Ozer Mehem, and he does not have the ability to seek help from them. In other words, there's no relief from them. Okay? And here he goes through all these ideas. Shayrish mitzvah zu yadua. The root of this mitzvah is well known and obvious. Ki ulas is shalom in abrias. It's to create peace among people. V'god la'sholem shavoya abrochem mitzvah ba'olam. V'kal shah machlekes. Argument and fighting is very bad. Kama kolis v'kama takolis tulias boi. It's interesting that he says it's to promote peace. One would have thought that it's that the idea is that one should not cause distress to another person because it's just not nice and it's morally reprehensive to cause another person pain, be it physical or mental anguish. Here he seems to say that the idea is to promote peace among people. So, again, in the Dersh and time of the Kra, but the question would become, if people are joking around or something like that, would there be less of an issue of, let's say, saying something that is not nice to a person if you're just kidding around? Because it wouldn't really affect peace between people. So that's something to think about. Maybe we'll see more as we move along, whether perhaps that is maybe permitted. Okay? He continues over here, Medina HaMitzvah, Kama HaZhoreis, V'Kama HaZeruzin, Shehizirun HaZechoinim L'Vrochim Yitzeh, Shemui L'Hachiv HaBriyois, not to cause pain to other people, V'Shum Dover, in any manner, V'Lei L'Vayishim, nor to embarrass them. Okay? If legal B'Dover, Ad She'amru, Shelo Yitlein of HaMekach M'Shol She'in L'Idomim, okay? That a person should not even like look at an item that he wants to buy it when he has no money, meaning he has no intention of buying it right now. I do want to point out, we're not going to see this inside, but practically in today's day and age, where people are very eager for you to look at an item, generally, in order to buy it. So in many, many stores, they want you just to walk in the door. And on the contrary, they want you to walk in the door, even if you have no intention of buying, and they'll be delighted if they could get you to step in, even though you'll tell them 50 times, I don't want to buy anything. Okay, so in that case, which is again is an apt description of many businesses in today's day and age, they want you to at least look at it and maybe catch your attention. So there, it would obviously be permitted. You're allowed to browse. You're allowed to browse in a store. You're allowed to go browsing because they want you to browse, even if you have no intention of buying. So window shopping is certainly permitted, and certainly even walking into a store, the popular pastime, which right now is off limits, of just going to a mall and just looking around for the fun of it, is permitted because they want you to come into the store and look around. Okay. Conversely, to dray a cup, let's say a salesperson, for half an hour when you have no intention of buying, that would probably be more problematic. So moving along, he says, Vinoy, I'm going to skip around there a little bit. Vinoy Hegas, Mitzvah Zubachamokam Chosman, Bizcharm, Unakevas applies to male and female, Rafilabiktanim, Royally, Lehizoyer, Shloylachivim, Bidvorm, Yoyser, Midai. Even with a cotton, it's proper to be careful not to cause them pain more than is necessary. Zulazi Bimash, Etzrichin, Harbe, Kadeshichu Musr. Okay? Not more than is necessary in order that they should take Musr. Interesting point that he makes. In other words, you are allowed to cause mental anguish to a child if it's necessary in order to train him. But outside of that, it is problematic. There's a famous story with the stipler that they stay over. I wasn't there. I cannot testify to it. But the famous story with the stipler that he walked into a bar mitzvah of someone who lived in his neighborhood. He wasn't especially close with the family. And he asked to speak to the bar mitzvah boy for a few moments. And then he left, which mazel tov, and he left. So everyone asked the bar mitzvah boy, what exactly happened? So it seems that a few years earlier, this boy had been in the Letterman Shul or wherever the stipler was davening, and he saw the boy looking at what the stipler thought was a sefer in the middle of davening. So the stipler had reproved the child for learning at a time when he was supposed to be davening. And then afterwards, he realized that the kid showed him that it was a siddur. It was a large siddur. Apparently, it looked like a sefer, but it was a siddur. And so the stipler had waited until the child was a gadol to come ask mechila, because a katan cannot grant mechila. He came to ask mechila a few years later for having caused him tzar and pain. Okay, now, here's where life gets interesting in the chinuch. He says like this, v'ulam lefi adoyme. Okay, he says it would seem, ein b'mashma she'im bo Yisrael echot v'hizchil v'hershia letzar chaveri b'dvorm haroim. If one guy, Mr. A, came over to Mr. B, and he started giving it to him and causing him, telling him not nice things and causing him tzar, okay, b'dvorm haroim shelo ya'aneu ha'shemea, it's not within the purview of this avera to expect Mr. B, the one who's being attacked, to just listen and not answer him. You can't expect the person to be like a stone which never gets touched. Furthermore, if he keeps quiet, it looks like he's agreeing to whatever the guy's saying to him. The Torah does not command the person to be like a stain, as they say, to zayin a stain, to be just a stone to those who insult him, the same way he would react to those who bless him. Okay, there are such people out there, but they're very few and far in between, and the Torah does not expect the person to live at that level. The Torah is commanding us to distance ourselves from this midah. You shouldn't start the fight. And thereby you'll avoid all this. In general, a person who's not very argumentative, okay, in other words, personally argumentative, will usually not be mocked or ridiculed or attacked by other people. Except for complete fools, and there's no reason to pay attention to complete fools. This is a great paragraph. It should be hung up. in a lot of places. Both the first half and the second half are very important. The first half is very important in that if someone starts up with you, al pi halacha, you're not mechuyev just to sit there like a stone and not react. Now we'll see soon, of course, that there is a madrega of, we'll see shortly, of hanayalav and oil, and those who get insulted and they don't respond. There is, of course, a level where a person is able to not react.
But there's a maimar chazal that says hayamin hanayalavim
ve'inam oilvim. That's what I'm talking about. So that's a
madrega. So you should not answer.
That's a madrega of midas chasidus. So 2 points over here. 2 points. Let's first finish the whole thing, and then we'll talk, because he's going to address your points in a minute. All right. If you do have someone mocking you, and he gets to a point where you have no choice but to respond, a wise person will respond in a derech silsel. He translates in the bottom over here in a refined manner. Pleasantly, but he won't get very angry. In other words, you can respond firmly, but you don't have to get mad. Because anger resides in the bosom of the fools. If he responds politely but firmly, he will save himself. Those who are listening, will save himself from those who are mocking him. And he'll cast the burden back on the one who's mocking him. Okay, and you see this all the time. You can have two people having an exchange. One of them is just letting it rip, and the other one is very calmly responding to his charges without losing his cool. And everyone knows in those kinds of exchanges who wins and who loses. Now, of course, if you have a situation where the guy is sounding like he's a shaita, there's no point in responding to a shaita. Okay? If you have someone who just blew his top and he's just, you know, screaming and tantruming, so then, you know, your best bet is just to walk away. But if you have someone who, you know, maybe he's making some points, but he's doing it in a way which is wholly inappropriate, which happens quite often, the way to respond is not by screaming back, but by politely and firmly responding. And he says, then you're casting the burden of ridicule back on the one who is doing the ridiculing. Okay? He continues, it's permitted to enter a fool if he had daima, masher, he tira taira. Where do you see it from? Listen to what he says. This is absolutely fascinating. The Torah permitted Haboba Machteris Lahatim Lahargai. The Torah says if someone comes in, tunnels into your home to kill you, you're allowed to kill him first. Shein Savish Lenishaiva Adam Lisbal Hanizok and Yan Haver, there's no doubt, there's no question that you're not obligated to bear the damage, the physical damage from another person. You have permission to save yourself. By the same token, you're allowed to save yourself from his words, which is full of deceit and of he calls it toich. He says over here on the bottom, mirma hanisteres b'toich halev, deceit that is coming from within the person's heart. In any way that he needs to be saved from him. So what he's making the point over here is that if someone starts off with you, you are allowed to respond in kind, but of course it's a good idea to respond calmly, albeit firmly, rather than just taking the bait and letting him push your buttons, in which case you both look like idiots, but rather to respond firmly and nicely so that he looks like a fool and you come out smelling like a rose. Okay, the ulam, this is where he gets to your point, Rabbi Yossi, yesh kat mibnei adam she'oila chasidusum kol kach, there is a group of people whose chasidus goes up to such a level, in other words, not just stam chasid, you got to be a super chasid, she'lo yirtzu lahach nizatman b'hayra zu, they will not put themselves into this psak, lehoshiv charfeim dover, to respond to those who mock them, when you gaver aleim akas, they're concerned that will get angry, and they will get dragged into this more than they want. And those who are insulted and don't insult back, they hear their ridicule and they don't respond. And those who love him are like the sun that comes out in its strength. And this is the famous Gemara, which is the source of a number of stories about. There's a famous story that went around some years ago of a person who was sitting in a chasana, and someone came over. Apparently there had been some sort of fallout with a neighbor. The neighbor got upset, and even though this person A was in the right, the neighbor person B was very mad. And in the middle of a wedding, suddenly person B stormed into the wedding and started publicly lambasting person A. And person A was sitting there listening to this, and suddenly person A, the victim, feels someone grabbing him by the shoulder and saying to him or her, whoever it was, please, please don't respond. I beg you, please don't say anything back. You know, just let the person finish. And after the person B had spent all her energies, person C said to person A, can you please give me a bracha, I think for children, whatever it was, with Chaim Kanievsky or one of the Gedolim, you know, choose your Gadol, one of those choose your Gadol stories, although it is Rav Chaim Kanievsky type of story, told me that I have to find someone, you know, that I should get a bracha. from someone who's mekayim this, and they love him and all of it, that they're insulted and they don't respond, a bracha from that person is priceless. So you just kept quiet and didn't respond. Please give me a bracha. And sure enough, within the year, the person had a baby. Take it or leave it. You can do what you want with the story. It's certainly a better schus than paying $18 to have someone go to Rav Yunus and Ben Uziel's kever, or even Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's kever. $18 won't hurt you. You know, certainly giving tzedakah is a big mitzvah. But in any event, you know, keeping quiet and not responding is certainly a big schus to have in avoiding getting drawn into a fight, as the Chinuch puts it. That said, Rabbi Yossi, the Chinuch makes it clear that it's a very high level of chassidus to be able to do that, certainly to do it on a consistent basis. You have to really have fine-tuned yourself to be able to be like a stone. You know, if the Torah doesn't expect you to be that, but if you could do that, you know, kol hakavod. So that's kind of where it all falls. That's where all the pieces fall, is that it is permitted to respond, but again, he says, you want to respond in a calm fashion. Okay? Now, the Rambam, again, gives a little bit more over here of the parameters to this lav. The Rambam says, the Torah warns us that some of us, again, this is the Rambam's classic language in Sefer HaMitzvahs, kitzaseinu, from any of us, from afflicting any of us with words. It's making statements to another person that will pain him and anger him, and he cannot stand because he'll be embarrassed from them. Okay? Then he goes through the whole discussion over here about the different examples given by the Gemara. It's interesting to point out that the Rambam over here does not seem to mention the problem of making it look like you want to buy an item and then not actually buying it. Okay, and not having any intention of buying it. That he doesn't mention over here. But the Rambam only mentions over here verbal abuse of causing mental anguish to another person, where he is ridiculing him, mocking him, etc. Okay? Now, if you want to see just how far this goes, in Sefer Chassidim, very, very interesting, Sefer Chassidim, he says like this, Adam shehoytzi niyoy mechoytmai. Okay, this is going to push some people's buttons right now, I'm just warning you. Someone blew his nose, who hoylech loy, and he left the tissue behind. Va'acher v'nimas boy, and someone else came and is disgusted by it, the one who blew his nose and left it there is going to be taken to task. He's causing his friend to be disgusted.
It's very apropos.
Yeah, well, this is already.
If you sneeze, you can cause a problem for your friend, according to the governor. Right?
The governor is not worried about disgust. He's worried about worse things than that, right? He's worried about germs. He's saying that even pre-coronavirus era, where all you heard from people was that it's disgusting, now it reached a whole different level, right? But before, all you heard was that it was disgusting. So he's saying, even if it's just disgusting, it's a problem. This is how far it goes. You bring your kids into your friend's house. It's not unusual for kids around their nose that they're not so clean. Okay? In other words, the kid has a runny nose, his nose is dirty, whatever. You got to clean them up before you go into your friend's house. Okay? So you bring your kid to shul, make sure that he hasn't got, make sure you blow his nose, clean his face before he walks into shul. It's not just the motherly doting that the mother sits there. I don't know if mothers still do this, but when I was a kid, you used to see it all the time. The mother would, now in the era of coronavirus, you can't do it. The mother would lick her finger and would, sit there washing the kid's face before, he went into
the shul. What about the chassid who eats kibble at the tish and wipes his fingers in the kapot of the other chassid?
That's a mazik. That's an outright mazik. But, in your own, that's mamish, the story in the Gemara, who was it? He wanted, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, I think it was, he wanted to find the ganif. So how did he find the ganif? He found the guy who was wiping his hands on someone else's beged, on someone else's towel. He said, he's the ganif. Doesn't care about someone else's money. Right? So that's how he nailed him. All right. So moving along, So it says the imlav, and if not, Nena shall be punished. There is a limit. If you come to my house and the kids are dirty and you're disgusted, that's how kids act. In other words, I think what he's saying is that if I go to your house, I'm expected to to clean up my kids before I walk into your house. But if you come into my house and my kids are just being kids, you know, that's what you expect. I think by the same token, if you go to a tish, okay, and the Hasidim, are throwing the gefilte fish around, the fact that you're a kalta litvak or less than that, you know, and it disgusts you, too bad. You walk into my territory, this is how we behave over here. If you don't like it, don't come. If I go into your place, if I, you know, walk into a yekisha minion, and I start doing that by the kiddush, that's a whole different story. All right, the Olam, maybe Mistama knows the joke, which has been said over in various forms, but the Hamish version is that by the Kiddush, and again, this is all pre-coronavirus jokes, but by the Kiddush, they would bring out a platter of kugel, and the minhag was, they would pass the kugel down to the far end of the table, and it would work its way forward. So the guy sitting at the front wanted to reserve the biggest piece of kugel, so he would put his finger on the piece of kugel that he wanted and say, this is my piece. So once he touched it, no one else was going to take it. At some point, everyone else at the table got fed up, and they figured out what to do. The next week, when the plate of kugel came, so the guy at the front put his finger on the piece, says, this is my piece, and then he passed it back. And as the plate of kugel worked its way forward, every single guy put his finger on that piece and said, this is his piece, this is his piece, this is his piece. And that was, that was the end of the problem. So, it does, there are different hagdaris. My grandfather, Olav HaShalom, whom my son Ephraim is named after, he told me that he grew up as an Oberlander. He grew up in Kishvarda, and he said he once went to a tish by the Munkacher. I guess I don't know if the Munkacher came to him or his father took him there, but he once went to a tish by the Munkacher when he was a little kid, and he watched the Hasidim over there, what was going on with their, they're all grabbing for the Shirayim, and he being my grandfather was always outspoken and let you know what was on his mind, and when he was a little kid, he was exactly the same way. And he announced, a bunch of chazerim. And they picked him up and they threw him out. I used to say over the story that they picked him up and threw him out after that announcement. You come to my place. This is how we behave. That's the minhag over here. That's normal. But for me to go to you, okay, I have to abide by what's considered proper etiquette in your space. And even if kids normally have dirty noses, but nonetheless, it's not considered proper that I not clean my kids' noses up first. Moving along. I'm going to skip over Rabbi Yoina over here, and I want to show you just the Meiri, very interesting Meiri over here. The Meiri says like this: Amar Meiri, Hashem b'sheish hanoah b'mekach humem karach tachish hanoah b'dvarim. Rotzal loymer. That means to say, she'atzer lahoinoiz es chaveiroi v'ligroim loy pseido b'dvarav. So the Meiri gives a very interesting lumdus over here to Oinoas Dvarim. The question really is, how do you connect Oinoas Dvarim and Oinoas Mamin? So Pashim Shat, there is no connection. Oinoas Mamin is, I cheated you. I overcharged, I underpaid, I cheated you. Oinoas Mamin has nothing to do with cheating. It's just verbal abuse. The word I know happens to be shared by both, but it would seem to be two totally different in Yonim. The Meiri over here seems to be looking to tie the two together, and truth be told, from the Gemara it sounds like there's a link, because the Gemara says, you would think it's Oinoas Mamin. No, we have a different pasuk for that. It's talking about Oinoas Dvarim. The Mashmas of the Gemara is that the two ideas are linked together in some way, shape, or form. So, what exactly is the link over here? So says the Meiri, you're causing him a loss with your words. What's the case? I ask you, how much does this item cost? I have no intent to buy. Listen to what he says. Because I'm embarrassed to say I don't want to buy it, what I end up doing is I'm going to end up denigrating the item and saying, nah, it's not worth that much. Forget it. Other people hear it. It comes up that you cause them a loss. So the Meiri turns this whole thing on its head. We thought till now that Oinoas Dvarim is I'm verbally abusing you. And rather, it's included also me causing you mental distress by making you think I want to buy something and I'm not. He says, no. It's a financial issue. I'm causing you a loss. I'm causing you a loss because I walked in and I asked him, how much does this chavez cost? How much is this car? Okay? And he said, that car is selling for $10,000. $10,000, Mr. Meshuggah, you're crazy. $10,000. This car is not worth $5,000. Look at the paint. Look at this. Look at that. Other people are standing around. and they say, oh, Taka, you know, this is Taka, it's not worth anything. Okay? I caused you a loss. The reason I said that was not because I wanted to haggle. Stop, I didn't want to buy. I was too embarrassed to admit that, so I found an excuse. Now the question is, that's all fine and dandy if I actually say that. But if I don't say it, what's the problem? He continues about filoi haya adam sham, even if there's no one else there. Mikamokim hu matrichoi umetzaroi, you are causing him bother and distress. Shechoshav limkar v'loi mocha, he thought he's going to sell it, he's not going to sell it. So the Meiri throws in another line over here, and he says it's still a problem because you're causing him distress, he thought he's going to sell it. The Meiri does not tell us how that fits into a loss, but I would venture to say that loss is a monetary loss through my verbal harangue that I would give on the item. And even if I don't give that verbal harangue, or there's no one there, but the fact that I cause you mental distress is included in a loss. It sounds to me, this is my own two cents, that the Meiri understands that a noas devarim is not so much the mental distress, it's the loss, either a loss, financial loss, or a mental loss in that I'm causing you distress. There's a loss over there. I'm causing you a loss, and then I'm causing you mental anguish. That's included in a loss as well. Okay? So the Meiri seems to be saying that is the hagdara of a noas devarim. Okay? If you want to see how far this goes, the Urayim says, v'kashem sh'ayna b'dvarim, kach ayna b'ayin ra, shemara lo ponim roim. Okay? I give you a sour face. So the Urayim seems to say, even if I give you a sour face, that may be included in a noas devarim. This is Mama Shapella. We always think, you say in the Pirkei Avos, right? Levi Mekabos called them a sefer ponim yafais. That's a nice thing to do. It's a dover musar. No. Says the Urayim, walking around with a scowl to someone else. In other words, you know, giving the person if looks could kill, right? That I look at someone and he just withers under my look. That's included in a noas dvarim. Okay, if I wither someone with a look, of course, we saw earlier very often when it comes to imachanech children. So as every door goes by, you're able to do less and less. Back in the day, you could take off your belt and beat him up. In the last door, that already wasn't in vogue. You're allowed to patch with the hand. You know, in the next door, you can't give a patch at all, but you are allowed to, you know, yell at a kid or speak to him. Today, it's even hard to do that much, but a look you're allowed to give still. And even that, kuli haiva ulai, kids, people are so delicate today that even a look could kill a person. You have to be careful, but it would be permitted under the proper circumstances. Which brings us to halacha lemaisa, and here we're going to see a very, very fascinating addendum to this whole conversation. So let's see. Excuse me. Says the mechaber, there's a whole sif also lohaynes b'dvarim uvelignay v'das habriyos. So the Mechaber puts together, you're not allowed to verbally abuse someone, you're not allowed to be going to someone's das, and you're also not allowed to trick people in sales, which seems to indicate that the Mechaber puts it all together, which would line up with what I mentioned before, that I know as Devarim is part of the section of cheating people, or of causing people a loss, like the Meiri seemed to indicate. Says the Mechaber, k'shem sh'ayna b'mekach u'mem karkach ayna b'dvarim, u'gdoy lo ayna z'dvarim, ayna z'mamim. Okay, sh'zeh nitin le'ishavim, v'zeh lo nitin le'ishavim, this you can return, this you can't, z'eh b'guf v'zeh b'maynay, v'hatzoyko ayna z'dvarim, nenem yad, one who cries out because of ayna z'dvarim, is immediately answered. Says the Ramah, v'yesh o'imrim, de'ein mitzuvin ayna z'dvarim, elo le'yirei Hashem. The Israel of ayna z'dvarim is only said to speak, not, don't misunderstand this. It's not the pshat that you are only obligated to observe the mitzvah if you're a Yirei Hashem. You're only obligated to be careful not to verbally abuse someone if he is a Yirei Hashem. Okay? Umisha ma'anes atzma is someone who is ma'ane himself. Mutter lehainis lehaineu, you're allowed to be ma'ane him also. What in the world does that mean? So let's see the sma. The sma there is a long piece where he tries to figure out what all this means. So let's see. Number one, Elo Liyirei Hashem, the Darshu Midachsev Loisainu Ish Es Amisai Am She'itcha B'Torah V'Mitzvos. It says Loisainu Ish Es Amisai, that is the nation that's with you in Torah and Mitzvos. It's very interesting that he says that the Ramah, again based on in Nemuka Yosef and Perek Azov, understands this as referring to a Yirei Hashem. Seemingly, if someone is a shomer Torah mitzvahs, he doesn't have to be a super duper Yorei Hashem. Who could be called a Yorei Hashem? Okay, to take that title is not so simple. So the Sma seems to very much water down the Ramah statement of Yorei Hashem, which is coming off of Nimuki Yosef. It means someone who keeps Torah mitzvahs. Okay, which again it greatly broadens the scope, much more than just someone who's a Yorei Hashem. Yorei Hashem would seem to narrow it. He says it's Amshe Itchah B'Torah mitzvahs. What about the next line over here? Such a person who's ma'ane himself is not called amisecha. Now, what does it mean ma'ane himself? So says the Sma, v'shamati mefarshin, the rots loyma that Muki Yosef means to say, im echod ma'ane oischa, if someone jabs you, someone cheppers you, gamkein atzimotu lohineu. Okay, you're allowed to chepper him back. What does ma'ane atzmai mean? Va'atzmai dekosa, what does it mean atzmai? What's loymar? Atzmai shel ze, shematir loya medrish lachzer lohineu. Not so easy to figure out exactly what this is supposed to mean. Okay, but let's try. It means, ma'ane atzmai means that you're allowed to badger, you're allowed to ma'ane the person himself, okay, who permitted for himself to be ma'ane you. Okay, very hard to read into the words, and he's going to get to that right in 1 second. But he seems to be understanding that Mishma Anes Atzmoi means someone who himself is being Ma'ane, you're allowed to be Ma'ane him back. Is Vein and Nirali, the Loshan Atzmoi and Mashma came. That's not what Atzmoi is Mashma. The Havlil Lemer Mishma Ma'ane Oischa, someone who is Ma'ane you. The Oid, Ma'iria Atzmoi, furthermore, why does it say Atzmoi, the Oisoi, Afilu Ma'ane Lacherim, Gamken Atzmoi Lohainai. According to this, even if he's being ma'ana others, you should be allowed to shepherd him back. Because if the point is that if he does it, you can do it back. So then if he bothers anyone, not just you. What it means is someone who is mizalzo in his own covet, benavsho in his own self, al kazelo yizira Torah, on such a person the Torah did not warn, the gamma cherimutarim lohineu, others are also allowed to bother him, ulazalzo bechvoidin, to demean his covet. In other words, if he himself doesn't care about his own covets, then you don't have to be worried about it either. It would seem that the reason is because the Ishka is a Yorei Shemayim. Very, very interesting. Such a person is not a Yorei Shemayim. I'm sure that the Bali Musar would have a field day with a line like this. Someone who's Mizalzel Bechvoidoi is not a Yorei Shemayim. Therefore, he's not included in Amsh Itchah B'Torah of a Mitzvah. And it's mashma like that a little bit in the Muki Yosef. The Kosav Shom Lifnei Ze Gamkein Hadin. Because right before this, he says the Din, the Mish in a Yorei Shemayim in a Muzrala. The Muki Yosef says right before this halacha, he says halacha that someone who's not a Yorei Shemayim is not included in this halacha. Avol nearly says this ma. I don't think that's the pshat. Din Kein Lehavol Lichtov Stam She'en Akari Amischa. He should not write Stam. He's not called Mischa Ella Havla Meimar She'ina B'Torah V'Mitzvahs. He should have said he's not a Torah V'Mitzvahs. If he's on the heels of his halacha right before that he's not a Yorei Shemayim, he's not included. He should have said he's not a Torah V'Mitzvahs, and therefore it's included in what I just told you a minute ago. Am She'itcha B'Torah V'Mitzvahs. Okay. From the fact that he says he's not Kari Mischa indicates that he's coming up with a new idea over here. Ella Nira the Kavonas Hamedrash Hu Kipshutoi. It's not normal for people to make fun of themselves. He's not called a mischa. He's not included in normal civilization, and normal conduct. Okay? That's why the Rama just left it as that statement. Okay?
I once heard a shir, I don't know if you said it or somebody else, that if you're a frum guy and you're staying in a hotel and it's Shabbos and you walk around in the lobby and there is a store and you look in the window and the guy comes out and says, that's $500, that menorah or whatever. But he sees you as a yarmulke. He knows you're not going to buy. Is this or not devarim? It's Shabbos.
Okay. So, question is, why does a guy, my child is a guy who's selling a menorah in the hotel, and knows that it's Shabbos for you, why is he even bothering to come?
Because in Israel, if you've been to a hotel in Israel, it's massive. From people stay in hotels, they have these stores in there. They display Pesach Seder plates and menorahs and this.
And they're open on Shabbos.
The salesmen are Arabs, but they see a guy with a yarmulke. They know it's Shabbos. He's not going to walk. You're walking in the lobby and they say, Bobo, come see. This is nice. It's 500 shekel, $500 or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Is this on us, Dvarim? I mean, you're not going to buy it in any case, even if you look at it or whatever.
When it's not Shabbos, you're not allowed to handle with him at all.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
So, Shabbos, you shouldn't even be, I mean, it's a shaila if you're even allowed to look in the window on Shabbos. You know, because of it's a similar, like, the same reason you can't read advertisements on Shabbos. I would think it's not like we said before, it's not an Azvarim because Fakert, they want you to come look and they want you to be aware. The reason he's coming out to tell you this is, like you said, he knows you can't buy it, but he's hoping after Shabbos, you know, you'll make a beeline for the store and you'll buy it from him. You know, most modern businesses today want you to look even if you have no plan on buying.
Correct.
Again, so where you
the whole Indian of an Azvarim is not Shaykh Bizman Azeh.
At least, well, of course it is. It just wouldn't be relevant or wouldn't be fully relevant the way it's described in the Gemara.
You go into the department store and you just walk around and the sales
they want you to do that.
You.
They absolutely want you to do that. And they want you to do that. It's not a problem. But to engage in a conversation with a salesperson or an owner in a way that makes it seem that you are interested in buying when you're not, that's problematic. So, you know, if you dray the guy a cup, let's say for 5 minutes of their time, and you know that standard that indicates you're actually interested when you have no interest in buying at all, that could probably be a problem in Oz Dvar. You know, just to ask the price out of curiosity, that's not a big deal, or a question or two. But when you start haggling or asking a lot of questions, which clearly shows an interest, and that's their assumption that you think, so you get their hopes up, they're giving you your time, and then you're just like, oh, okay, goodbye, and you never had, you know, any interest in buying at all, that would be included. That would still be included today because, you know, there's a line you cross between disinterested, you know, browsing and interest in buying type of discussion where the seller thinks that you are indeed interested and you have no interest whatsoever. You know,
you're allowed to go to a store and check prices just to see if it's more expensive
I've asked the Shaila. I believe it's permitted. And I think the reason it's permitted is because if they give you a better price, you may well go with them. You know.
So just for price comparison, you walk into a store and you say...
But again, if they give you a better price... Now, to walk into a store, let's just give a marshal. If you walk into a store, okay, and you're planning on buying the item at Walmart, and you know there's no way in the world this